Thank you, Brother Frank. I appreciate the humble prayer we do tonight. It's good to be able to be back behind the pulpit to preach to your hearts. I trust and hope that the message will be a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, tonight as we begin to Romans chapter number 7, verse number 19. We got several scripture tonight, and I forgot to give them my list. I don't know if they'll be able to keep up with me or not, but if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me in your Bible, Romans 7:19. And I'd like to preach a message tonight on making the right choice. Making the right choices. We're all faced all of our lives with making choices, amen? Life is full of choices. Probably tonight, if you was on your way to church, you may have got home late and you didn't have time to change. You came in your work clothes. Well, that's perfectly all right. Amen. Maybe you decided to dress casually, or I know some of you wear your vest that represents your Christian organization, your motorcycle club. That's fine. I grew up in a church surrounded where that I think a lot of times they preach more on the word about the outside than they did the inside, amen. So that kind of mentality. But I don't know if you men, maybe your wives are like my wife, but she'll get ready for church, especially a lot of times on Sunday morning. She'll get ready for church and she'll come in there and she'll say, is what I got on, does it look okay? And I said, it looks fine to me. And she'll head back into their bedroom, and in a few minutes she'll come back out and she'll have another outfit on, and she'll say, well, how does this one look? And I take that manly way out. I don't know about you fellas, but I said, well, honey, you'd look good whatever you're wearing, amen. So, but anyway, life is full of making choices. The Bible tells us in talking about in Romans 7:19, for that good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Here we find Paul, the great patriarch and probably the most intellectual man in the New Testament, that wrote 13 of the New Testament books of the New Testament, maybe some say 14, but here Paul is making a statement, and he's saying, Houston, I got a problem. He said, I have a problem between what I ought to do right. He said, I failed to do it. And the things that I should not do, he said, I do them. Now, we do that, don't we? Amen. The Bible, so that's what Paul is saying. 1 Corinthians 16:20 tells us, you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we are new creatures in Christ. Amen. If you've been born again and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You are a new creation, amen, a new creature. You're not a makeover. You're not a self-made person, man or woman. You've not turned over a new leaf. A lot of people say, well, I've turned over a new leaf. No, if you've been born again, you are a new creation in Christ, amen. And we ought to glory in that fact tonight and realize that fact that we're no longer our old self. We're no longer that old man or that old woman. We are a new creation, a new, just like somebody that does art and paints a picture, it's a new creation every time that they draw art. And so you are a new creation and you are made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Amen. and they were male and female. So God has no, the Bible tells us that God has no flesh and blood, that God is a spirit. In John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. If you have not the Spirit of God tonight, if you've never been born again, you cannot worship God in spirit. Amen. You can only worship Him tonight in a false religion or in a false cult, or you worship Him in a religious setting. So when we're saved, we are placed, the Bible tells me and you tonight, we are placed in Christ. In Galatians 3:26-28, for we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. So if we're all one in Christ, we're all placed in the body of Christ. Is that not right tonight? So in 2 Corinthians 12:12-13, for as the body is of one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body. So the choices that we make affects others, amen, tonight. It doesn't just affect you. I've heard people say, well, the choices I make, it's my choice and it just affects me. No, the choices we make not only affects us, it affects our families, it affects our husbands, our wives, our children. It affects our loved ones. It even affects our church tonight, amen, in the choices that we make. When you fail to come to church, just because you fail to come to church, you miss the blessings of God, and you are missed, amen. If you're sick and not able to come to the house of God, providentially hindered, you are missed because you are a part of the body of Christ, which is the church. So let me say right here tonight, God does not send anyone to hell. God doesn't send. I've heard people say, well, God sends you to hell. No, God doesn't send. Listen, man has a choice tonight. He gave Adam and Eve a choice whether to live for Him, serve Him, whether not to. So man has a choice tonight. If a person winds up in hell tonight, they'll go over the cross. If a person winds up in hell tonight, they'll go past the blood. Amen. If a person winds up in hell tonight, they'll go through the clear teachings of the Word of God. May I say tonight, this Word of God is truth. Amen. And I believe it from the old man said, from kiver to kever. I believe every word of it is truth, amen. And it's good for our instructions, the Bible tells us. So the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, preacher, as I said, I'm my own person. But let me say tonight, if you're not saved, you are a slave to sin. You are a slave to sin. And if you're saved tonight, you're not your own. You're a bond servant to Christ. And we're supposed to, as a bond servant to Christ, we're supposed to live like Christ. We're supposed to act like Christ. We're supposed to talk like Christ. We're to be Christians, amen. We're not to be like the world. The Bible said, love not the world nor the things of the world. If a man loved the world, here is a true saying, the love of the Father is not in him. So if a person loves the world, they can't love God. The love of God is not even in them if they love the world more than they love God. So we find in the beginning that Adam and Eve, when God gave them a choice, amen, He said, you can either eat of the tree of the garden, the trees are in the garden. He said, the garden of tree of life, He said, you will eat it and live. But he tells them, he said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day that you eat thereof, he said, you shall surely die. And we know the story of how that Eve partook of that fruit, amen, and then she gave it unto Adam, and Adam did eat. Now Eve, the Bible tells me and you tonight that she was beguiled. In other words, the devil tricked her. She was the lesser vessel. She was the woman is to be the helpmeet for the man, amen. That doesn't make a man any superior to a woman. We are to be co-equal, working together, amen, in the home and in the church. So we find here tonight that when they partook of that, Adam partook of that fruit, he openly sinned. And what he tried to do, he tried to redeem Eve unto himself by his good works. He thought, if I just partake of this fruit and I eat of it, God will look upon it and he'll see that I'm trying to do the best. I love this woman that he's gave me and he'll forgive what I've done. God doesn't forgive sin, amen. And God told him, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And because Adam sinned, the Bible tells me and you that we are sinners. They're the mother and the father of all living. Because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So we find here that the day that they eat of that fruit, they died not only, begin to die a physical death, they died a spiritual death. In other words, some say they was clothed in light. I don't know, but I know this. They had the Spirit of God, amen. And when they sinned, the Spirit of God departed from them. And they were no longer able to worship God and to be with God in spirit and in truth, amen. So here we find that as he tried to, you can't, listen, your works will not get you to heaven tonight. I've talked to people and witnessed to people all the time. I have a brother right now. I mentioned him. He's 85 years old and he's holding on to his works. He thinks his works is going to get him to heaven. But I've told him and told him and told him, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't even have the faith on our own to be saved. God gives us the faith to be saved. When we see that the Holy Spirit of God convicts our heart and opens our heart and shows us that we're lost, and we receive that gospel into our heart and we repent and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth that He is Lord, then He saves us, amen. And I believe when you're saved, I believe you'll tell somebody about it, amen. I don't know about you, but I got excited when I got saved. I got saved on a Sunday morning. I went to church and my mother didn't go, and I went to church and I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and I came home and I told my mother, I said, Mama, I got saved. She said, you joined the church. I said, no, I got saved. She said, son, you joined the church. I said, they didn't say nothing about joining the church. I said, I got saved, amen. I know you say, how you know you're saved? I wanted to go to church after that. I wanted to go on Sunday night, amen. I drove a truck, and I'd work by the truck lights to get back home on Wednesday night, because I didn't want to miss church, amen. And if we was like that in the years to come, amen, like we was when we was first saved, we'd always enjoy being at the house of God and enjoy being in the church and enjoy the fellowship as we have here with one another. So we find here tonight, I'd like for you to turn over, if you would please, and I'm going to be reading from there in just a few minutes, the 1 Kings chapter number 14. So as Adam and Eve had a choice, I think about David, amen. We know the story of David. I'll not spend a long time tonight to get these points or get this message across to you. But we find that David, we know the story of how that David had taken some time off, and he was on the rooftop, and He was the son in himself, and he looked over and he saw Bathsheba over there, and she was bathing, and she was no doubt she had to have been naked. And he looked over there and he desired her, and he sent his servant over there and brought her to him. He laid with him, and she became with child. And then how that Uriah was the captain of his army, and he came in, and he wouldn't even sit at the king's table. He went home, and he slept in his doorway because he wanted to honor the king, and the king had done went and committed an act of sex on his wife, and she became with child. And how did he put him up in the front of the line, and he withdrew his captain, and they slaughtered him after he killed a lot of the enemy. And so David couldn't get by with sin, and me and you will not get by with sin. And God told him, said, David, because you sin, he said, the sword will never leave your house. And that child that Bathsheba had, it died, amen. And David mourned over that child, and he said one thing about it. He mourned for days and sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he said one thing about it. He said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. I don't know about you tonight, but I look forward to going home, don't you? I've got loved ones on the other side, and I'm looking forward to seeing my loved one. My dad died when I was 5 years old. I don't know much, didn't know much about him, don't know much about him, just kind of when he was sick. But I know this, he's over there tonight. I have a mother over there who I worked hard to get in the house of God. And listen, we're going to have a reunion. Ain't you looking forward to that time? Listen, if Jesus comes in the air, or if you go by the grave, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm looking forward to the rapture. I don't know about you, amen. I'm looking forward to Jesus to come to take us all to heaven. But I look forward to that homecoming in the sky. Most of all, I'm looking forward to that one who died for me. I look forward, amen, to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to seeing the Savior of my life. So we find that David, he made the wrong choice. Then we find someone else. His name is Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And the reason it was that God gave his wisdom to him. We know the story of how the two women came. They had a baby, and both of them claimed the baby, and Solomon thought about it overnight, and he come back the next morning, and he said, I tell you, take a sword and cut him in half. And one of the women said, spoke up and said, no, she can have him. And David gave her to him to her and said, truly, you are this child's mother. What else would you have done but give up your child? And so we find that Solomon, he reigned over Israel just like David did for 40 years. All the kings reigned over Jerusalem 40 years. And so as he reigned, the Bible tells us here in this story tonight that after David died, David couldn't build the house of God. See, David had blood on his hands. And God forbade him to build the house of God, the temple of God. So David said, well, I can't build the temple. But he said, I'll bring the material. And the Bible tells us that he brought so much cedars of Lebanon to put in the house of God that they couldn't number them all, Brother Frank. And then he brought so much bronze they was unable to weigh it all. And then Solomon is the one. He said, I want to let your son Solomon build the temple. And so Solomon, first of all, I want you to see that Solomon built the house of God. Amen. He built the house. And what a majestic and a marvelous house it was. And the Bible tells us tonight something about it, and I don't have time to get into that. But it was a marvelous house, full of gold and silver and silver rings and buckles and curtains and colors. And so it was a beautiful house of God. I thank God for the house you have tonight. Amen. I know some of you probably struggle. You've been through your trials. But listen, you're still here tonight. You're the majority, probably, as the pastor says. And so listen, you've kept it alive. You kept it going. And God is blessing. Amen. And what a beautiful house. house of God you have tonight. That's the way, you know, some churches today, they're mega churches, even bigger than the church that you have here. But one thing they don't have, I mean, they don't have God, amen. The Spirit of God's not in them. I never will forget, me and Nancy lived in Burlington, North Carolina when we first got married, and we went to a church down there, and there was so many people that went, the church was so small, everybody couldn't sit in the church, and it began to grow. And Brother Raymond, they had to set chairs outside the church, and they put loudspeakers outside the church, and the church would hold about 100 people, and a lot of times there was 100 or more sitting out in the yard. The pastor come in and said, we're going to build a new church. And so they built, this was back when me and Nancy was first married, and we've been married 47 years this week, amen, this past Monday. And so, so they built a magnificent $7 million church. And me and Nancy couldn't wait to go to the dedication service. And we went to the dedication service. I mean, boy, they had flowers. They had everything arrayed, and everything looked pretty and just in its right place. And the only thing that I could not feel God. We went several times back after that, and we never could feel the presence of God. Oh, I want to say the mega churches tonight, they have no, I can't think of the word I want to say, but most of them don't have God in them, amen. They're just a show, amen. And they're just a place, they don't even call them churches anymore. They call them worship places. They don't even, I've preached revivals all over, and I go into some churches, they don't even have an altar anymore. I thank God for the altar. It's on the altar where I got saved, amen. But we find here that Solomon, the wise man, the Bible tells in 1 year that 666 talents came to him of gold. That's 25 tons of gold in 1 year. That's more than Fort Knox, ain't it? Amen? And so he put many tariffs, and he put many taxes on the people, and he burdened his people. And finally, in the end, the Bible tells us that the wisest man who ever lived, he took in wives and concubines, and he had, I can't remember how many wives, but he let them bring their religions in, and they began to worship their gods. And listen, that don't go with God, amen. He tells me and you, thou shalt have no, in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so I don't know, people make a lot of things their God tonight. You can take that and run with that. But I'm glad tonight that I'm serving the one and true God. Amen. I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, the Bible tells us here that Solomon here, that over here in, if he wants to turn there, if you want to turn there, if I can find it. Listen to this. And the rest of the acts of Solomon, all of, that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over Israel, there it is again, was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So here the Bible tells us that they just buried Saul. In other words, this great, the Bible tells us in Saul's reign that there was not a war cry heard throughout the land. There was peace for 40 years during all of his reign. He built a magnificent city and the temple of God. And then after he built the temple of God, he built the house of God. Amen. He built the house of God last. He built the temple first. But anyway, we find here that Solomon, I want you to look then in 1 Kings chapter number 10 and verse number 14. 1 Kings 10 and 14. Now their weight, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 6 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchants and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arab and all the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shackles of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. So we find here that the Queen of Sheba, she came to Solomon, and she looked at all the magnificent buildings and the temple, and she looked at the house of God that he had built and the house that he lived in, and she said, surely the half has ne'er yet been told of all of its magnificence. But the Bible tells us here that Solomon, he took that gold and he beat them into, he put 150 shields. And then he took and beat another 150 pieces of gold into shields. And what he did, he lined the hallway from his house, from his house to the temple. And he set a chair under each gold shield. And he set a soldier down in the chair. He put 150 shields on this wall, and he put 150 shields on this wall. And every time that we go worship at the house of God, those soldiers would come to attention. His captain would have them to stand, and they would march and line the hallway from his house until the house of God, that he might walk, and they would stand facing the aisleway to the house of God. And so he was protected when he went to the house of God. Amen. Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit of God protects us tonight? Amen. I'm glad, listen, there's guardian angels that watch over me and you. You know, you won't know till you get to heaven how many times something may have happened to you, maybe a car wreck or whatever it might be, that was dangerous to you or to your health, to your family, that there was one watching over you. I'm glad tonight there's one who watches over me. And the Bible said he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never slumbers, and he never sleeps. He's always on the job. So you say tonight, preacher, as I mentioned first, I'm my own person. I want you to see this tonight. And turn over with me to the 14th chapter and the 25th verse. I won't be much longer tonight. The 14th, 1 Kings 14, 25. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak the king of Egypt came upon against Jerusalem. Now, when Solomon died and Rehoboam was made king, and Solomon had put many taxes and he had burdened the people, and after Solomon died, they got together, the young men and the old men, and Rehoboam asked them, said the old men, said, what should I do concerning how to run Israel and what my father did? And he got the young men together and he asked them, and they said, maybe you need to ease up a little bit. Solomon we had too many taxes that was levied against us, and there was too much labor going on and things like that. Well, the old men came back and they said, no, just leave it like Absalom was. Just hard rule and keep the taxes even higher. And so the Bible tells us tonight that the nation of Israel, it split in two. 10 kingdoms went to the southern kingdom, and 2 kingdoms stayed in the north, or went to the northern kingdom. and two kingdoms, Judah stayed in the southern kingdom. And so because they split tonight, Rehoboam, he was in control. And things went terrible under Rehoboam. I don't have time to get in, but he worshipped idols, and he let idol worship come back in. He put heavier taxes on, and he did awful in the sight of God. So when it came to pass on the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields or brass shields, and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guards, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that he, the guard, bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. And the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all he did, as they were not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah. So here's Shishak, and Shishak, he's a type of the devil, amen. The devil's out to do what? But to kill. He wants to kill you. Amen? Kill and destroy. He'd like to destroy you. He'd like to destroy this church. That's his business tonight, is to destroy. You have to watch the wiles of the devil. We're no match for the devil tonight, amen? But I got a big brother, Jesus, who he is, amen? Jesus can put the devil on the run. But here Shishak comes in, and he takes those golden shields, and he takes off with them back to his country. And I want you to notice what happened. Instead of Rehoboam gathering any of his army and taking off after and getting those golden shields and bringing them back and putting them in their proper places, the Bible said that he took brass. And they beat brass and put brass shields up. That's an inferior metal, amen. He went on, listen, just like nothing had ever happened. He went on in his religious state. Now, I'll tell you, we got a multitude of people today, folks, in the church. They went against God, and they went against the Bible, and they went against the Word of God. And I want to tell you something tonight. They are more of the devil than they are of God. Amen. And religion will send you to hell tonight. Salvation will save you. Amen. But he went on just like nothing was wrong. And how many people do that today? They're far away from God, amen. They can't even hear God anymore. I have a brother who's a preacher now and been preaching for many years. But I never will forget, and I hope I have time as I'm about to finish up, but he got saved before I did. And I went to him and his wife's baptism, and he lived out at Flat Rock out there on the other side of Mount Airy. And he got out of church, and he wasn't going to church. And then I got saved, and I got concerned about him. And because I went to his baptizing, I remember him being baptized and talking about the Lord. But anyway, I went over to mow my dad's grave one Saturday morning about 7 o'clock, Brother Raymond, and God got a hold of my heart. Nancy was with me. And I said, listen, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I cut off this my lawnmower, and I left it there at the cemetery. And I went over to the house. He was living in the house we was raised in. I knocked on the door, and I woke him up. And I said, Bill, I come here to talk to you about the Lord. And I took him back there, and first I asked him if he was saved. He said, I ain't sure. I said, well, I remember when you said you were saved and you got baptized. And I took him there in First John, and I showed him where if we have the witness of angels and the witness of men, the witness that is greater within us, amen. I know I'm saved tonight, amen. I'll tell you, anything big as Jesus moves in you, you'll know about it, amen. And you want to tell somebody about it. It'll pop out on you like popcorn, amen. So I told him, I led him through the blood, amen, and showed him where if he had made a profession of faith. And he bowed down and he told me he knew he was saved. And he came to church that Sunday. I was pastoring the church and his daughter got saved. And it wasn't long. He was working down at Prairie Manufacturing. They went in. He'd been there 30 years, and they let him go. And it wasn't just a week after that. He'd already got his heart right with God, and God put him in a church. Amen. Pastoring the youth, and he went on from there to pastor a church. That's what God can do. Amen. That's what God can do. So we find here that a form of religion will send a man to hell. So I want you to see something tonight. Man must make the choice to walk in obedience to God. Amen. He tells us in His Word, He said He loved obedience rather than sacrifice. The missionary told us of how men would take a cat of nine tails down in the Bahamas and play Philippines, and it would beat their back till it was bloody. There are men who even take and have their are nailed to a cross like Christ was nailed to a cross. And they think, they crawl up to have a cross, and they beat themselves, and they crawl up to the cross in the church and leave the bloody mess. But I'll tell you, that's religion, and religion won't save you. Jesus shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It takes Christ. See, Adam and Eve, because they sinned, and that sin passed upon me. When he sinned, the Spirit of God left him, amen. And the blood that surged through his body was tainted blood, amen. That's why me and you are tainted tonight, because we have that blood, tainted blood flowing through me. But it's not the first Adam, it's the last Adam who became the first Adam, amen, and gave his blood for me and for you there on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. By the shedding of his blood, we're saved tonight, amen. So we've taken and we've put up our golden shields, and I believe that we put up a golden shield of worship. Amen. If we don't watch, worship becomes hollow, and worship becomes vain. And worship, like a lot of we see today, is just for a show. Amen. I like true worship. I don't see nothing. I'm like the pastor. Bless God, if you want to shout in Fellowship Baptist Church, you shout. If you want to run, you run. If you want to praise God, you praise God. You just better make sure God's in it, amen, or we'll know about it, amen, whether you are or not. But I think about how that men today, they've taken down, the devil slipped in and told that golden shield, and they put up brass shields of worship, and they just go on worshiping like God like nothing's ever happened, amen. Then I see tonight, I see that golden shield, that Bible, has been taken, amen. And we put up that old brass shield of a Bible. Listen, I like what the pastor said. We're King James 16:11, amen. And I pray that you all, listen, I want to say this. When me and Nancy first come here, we didn't know what Bible y'all used, but when I heard him begin to preach out of that King James Bible, boy, it thrilled my heart, amen. And I wouldn't have come back. I might have would have left, amen, if it wasn't the King James. I believe in the King James Bible. I believe it from cover to cover. Somebody said if you could squeeze it hard enough, the blood of Christ and the saints would come out of it, amen. I believe it's the true Word of God tonight. The world produces one Bible a year without revival. The King James Bible is the only Bible that has ever brought revival. And the only Bible that ever will bring revival, I wouldn't have a Revised Standard Version. I wouldn't have any of those ungodly things. They took the blood out of them. They took verses out of them. Amen. And I believe in the King James 16:11 Bible. But what men have done today, they stand in the pulpits all across America and all across the world, and they've laid this old Bible, King James Bible, down. And they picked up all kind of ungodly Bibles, and they're trying to preach out of them, amen, and ain't got a bit of God in them, a bit of truth in them, a bit of drawing power in them whatsoever, amen. I never will forget, I might have done told you this, but I was on the radio up at WSYD for many years, and I can't remember the name of the church now. I know the pastor's name, but Firehouse Ministries, he came on before me. And I've never been there, but I know from his preaching a lot going on there. I don't know if it's still going today, but anyway, he made a statement. He came on, then I came on after him, and he said, when I read a Bible, he said, I want a Bible that I can understand, that makes it much clearer. And so, Brother Frank, I couldn't let that go. So I come on after him, and I said, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I didn't understand the King James Bible. I said, I didn't understand until I got saved. Amen. When I got saved, I began to understand it. How, preacher? Well, the Holy Spirit of God revealed it to me. Amen. If there's anything you want to know, amen, you go and you search this Bible out. Just like Kirk said, get you some things and Bibles and different commentaries and books and search it out. Listen, it's in the truth of the Word of God. And you can find it there. But we've taken down, we throwed our Bibles out of the church, and we put up that old brash word, amen, and it don't have a bit of power whatsoever. Then they've taken the blood. They've taken the blood. They've taken the blood out of the Bible. They've taken the blood out of our songbooks, amen. A lot of songbooks they put out today don't even have the blood. And I want you to know something tonight. They put up old, they have a cross today, and it has Christ. And Christ is not on the cross. Christ is not in the grave. Christ rose on the third day, he said. He said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. If I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. And 3 days later, 72 hours later, just like he said, he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and John fell down on his face as he were a dead man. He said, John, he said, get up. I got some letters. You're not done yet. Amen. But they hang him on a cross, and he's not on the cross today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and for you. But I want you to know they glorify the cross today. Amen. It ain't the cross that saves. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood that forgives, amen. Just like the pastor said, it wasn't finished there on the cross. Jesus had to rise from the grave. And because he rose from the grave, we rose with him, amen. You know something tonight? I like that grave part. You've got something tonight that hinders you from serving God. You've got habits and you've got problems and you've got things in the way that hinder you from serving God like you are to serve, come to church like you are to come, living like you are to live. You know what you need to do? You need to take it to the grave, and you need to kick it and throw it in the grave, amen. Because Jesus rose, amen, on the third day, and he overcome every obstacle that me and you may have. Let me give you another little story before I move on, and then we'll be done. I was pastoring my first church. But they put flowers all over the cross today, and there's nothing pretty about the cross. The Bible tells the scripture that you cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. But anyway, I'll get my train of thought back in a minute. I done lost it. Oh, I was pastoring my first church, and there's a piece here that's glued here so my Bible won't slide off. But the first church I ever pastored, it didn't have anything there, and it had a red velvet on the pulpit, and it didn't have anything for my Bible to come up against. About my second, maybe third, second sermon I'd ever preached in the church, couldn't call a pastor. And my Bible slid off in the floor. And I reached down and I picked it up and I put it back in place and I began to preach. And I hadn't been preaching long and my Bible slid back off down in the floor. So I reached back down, I picked it up, and I put it back on. I began to preach. And a third time, it slid off in the fold. And this voice came to me and said, just kick it. Just kick it out of the way. And there another voice come to me and said, you better not kick it. You kick it and you're done for. So I hearkened to the Holy Spirit real quick, amen. And I picked it back up and I held it with my hand so it wouldn't slide off anymore. This word is precious, amen. It's precious. But we've taken we've I seen something word today, and I'm going to close with it. I seen something today, you don't want me to close, that I can't remember the word, but that Adam, in other words, what it means, that Adam means many. In other words, instead of God just creating Adam, the same time He created Adam, He created all humanity. He created more than one. Well, the Bible tells me that that can't be so, amen. But I said that to say this tonight. Don't fall for everything you hear. Don't fall for every preacher you hear. Don't fall for every doctrine you hear. Weigh it out, amen. Study it. Rightly divide that word of truth. You'll be a stronger Christian for it. Here we find Rehoboam. Not only did they make the wrong choice, but something else happened. He failed to give God his best. Amen. Failed to give God his best. Are you giving God your best tonight? He could have done what's right, yet he failed to do his best. Me and you have an opportunity to do what's right. But do we fail to give God our best? You say, I don't have time to serve God. But are you giving God your best? I think about when it comes to sports, we give God our best. When it comes to the things of the world, we give the things of the world our best. But when we leave these doors and we go out to serve, are we giving God our best? Are we doing all we can for God? Are we living that our light so shine that the world may see us, amen? That we might project Christ to a lost and dying world. When's the last time we handed out a Bible tract? Or told somebody about Jesus? Or asked somebody if they were saved? Or called and invited them to church? Or witnessed to somebody? I don't know about you, but I want to stand before God. I want to stand before God. There's going to be enough tears shed and say, I've given my best. Paul said, I've run my race. I've finished my course. Paul was ready to die. He was ready to give his life. If we give God our best today, tonight, in our life, in our Christian life, are we making the right choices? It's up to us tonight. Amen. It's up to us. When we leave this house of God, it's up to us to give God our best. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had to come preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Word, and as I mentioned, the Word is true. Lord, I don't just preach to this congregation tonight, but I preach to myself. Let me always strive to give you my best. Let them always strive to give you their best. Lord, let us leave here tonight with a determination in our heart that we're going to choose right. We're going to choose good above evil. We know, Father God, that we're in a warfare. Paul tells us that we're in a warfare. Let us put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the wiles and the fiery darts of the devil. And through it all, do what's right. Make the right choices, not only for us, but for our family and for our church. That we might grow and mature as Christians. For Lord, babes in Christ, just like an earthly baby, it has to take time to grow and mature. So Lord, that there are young Christians among us, let us which are older, Lord, let us lead the way and show the younger how to live and live the right Christian life, make the right choices, give it our all. If we'll give it our all, everyone here at Fellowship Baptist Church, Lord, we'll even begin to see it grow more. And we'll see the Spirit of God even be more richer and fuller every time we meet to worship you here at Fellowship in spirit and in truth. Thank you for everyone that's come, everyone that's listened tonight, Lord, for their attentive voices. Thank you for your goodness and graciousness upon this church. Watch over our pastor, Lord, as him and his family's on vacation and his wife's going to be operated on. Watch over our families. We ask it not only the church family, but our families. We ask it all in Christ's precious, sweet, and holy name. Amen and amen. You're free to go, amen, and free to fellowship.